The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. Lots to get to on today's show. First, though, you can be reminded that to send us some feedback, write us at td@kpcg.fm. And, of course, you can see the URL there at the bottom of the screen to get the live show every morning, whether you're here in central Oklahoma or in the Midwest or on the East Coast. It's at 8 a.m. over in the UK, 1 p.m. in the afternoon. You can go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can go to thetrumpet.com website anytime to get the podcasts of this program. They're generally posted a few hours after the live show. On today's show, we're going to be getting into a Bible study on the subject of following in the steps of Jesus Christ, and this will tie in, I think, quite well with some of the things we've talked about of late. The studies we've had on hypocrisy, really following through on the truth, being a doer of God's word, and of course, following in the steps of Jesus Christ, as he said to some of those that came out to listen to his messages, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? So 1 Peter 2, verse 21, of course, is the verse that speaks of following in his steps, but there's all kinds of other verses that talk about walking with God, so making sure that we're with God and with Jesus Christ so that he's with us. A follow-up on what we discussed yesterday, Brooklyn Center, it continues to burn. The city comes down. The city goes down in flames. Even as the mayor rushes to the microphone and talks about, well, he's fired now, she's fired, this guy's fired. It's justice. This is justice for Dante. The Daily Mail had this to say about Dante Wright. It says he choked a woman and threatened to... This is part of the rap sheet. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but this gets into more specifics. Dante Wright choked a woman and threatened to shoot her if she did not hand over $820 she had stuffed in her bra, according to court papers. It says Wright was due to face trial on a charge of attempted aggravated robbery with a possible maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. Charging papers say he and a second man went to the home of these two women, it says, to a party and so on. This was in December of 2019. At the time, Wright was 19 and the driver was 18. So then it goes on to describe this scene. And how he pulled out a gun, held this woman at gunpoint. And so this is the one that now, as I said yesterday, is held up as a saint. He's a saint. I mean, this mayor is talking about how police officers should come into these traffic stops and not even have weapons. So we should take the guns away from the police, of all things. This mayor... He's been given the full authority over the police department. Let me just move ahead, fellas, to the announcement from Brooklyn City Mayor, Brooklyn Center Mayor Mike Elliott yesterday. This is clip one.
We have received a resignation, a letter from Officer Kim Porter. And in addition to that, we have also received a letter of resignation from the police chief.
So the officer involved in the incident, she's gone. She's in hiding, in fact. She can't go to her home because she's already been doxxed. Of course, that's got to get out there. BLM, they've got to send out the address so that the protesters can go right up to her doorstep, maybe inside even. Who knows? So she's in hiding. And then the police chief, I played some clips from him yesterday. He was doing everything he could to try to appease the mob, and it didn't work out so well for him. So he's gone. He's gone. And now the mayor, he's over. He's over the police department. And this is a radical leftist. It's very similar to what happened last year in Minneapolis with the left-wing mayor there. Remember, he went out and tried to talk to the BLM crowd, and they booed him off the stage. But this is the way you operate, I guess. Just try to appease the mob. Just give the mob everything that they want. She's got to be fired. All right, she's out. Police chief, he's out. City manager, he's out. Play this next one here. This is clip 4.
The council then took action to relieve the city manager of his duties. As you all know, the city manager had responsibility and command over the police department until yesterday.
Until yesterday. Kurt Bogany, he's the city manager. He's the one that you might remember the reporters saying to him that, well, hey, how come you're hiding the identity of this woman? You're trying to protect the killer. And he just kind of stood there. Well, now he's gone because he made the mistake of saying that, look, she's entitled to due process here. So let's let the court, let's let the courts take care of this. And they didn't like that. The mob didn't like that. So the city manager, Kurt Bogany, he's gone. This is from Yahoo News. Bogany lost his job shortly after calling for due process for Kimberly Porter, the officer involved in the accidental shooting of Dante Wright during an altercation in the midst of a traffic stop. So he called for what we're seeing here, besides lawlessness in the streets. What we're seeing is the Constitution of the United States being shredded. All of this lawlessness, it goes right up to the top levels of government. And here you have a city manager. He was the one that presided over the police department initially, or until yesterday, I guess. Now it's this left-wing mayor. Because you can't even call for due process. So he's gone. He's been fired. Says Elliot, that's the mayor, confirmed Tuesday that he ordered the removal of a pro-law enforcement thin blue line flag from outside the city's police precinct, calling the icon potentially inflammatory. So you can't have a flag that promotes law enforcement. That's potentially inflammatory. His city is burning. His city's going up in flames. And he's firing people that are presiding over law enforcement. He's removing flags as if that's the big problem here. And then he's saying they don't need weapons, law enforcement. It says, what I've seen in Minneapolis and Minnesota today, this is quoting Leo Terrell. He's the conservative commentator that appears on Fox at times. He says, what I've seen by that mayor's incompetence, the chief of police quit, and only because both the chief of police and the officer are both entitled to due process. So Leo Terrell, he was upset speaking about all of these actions taken and the city manager being fired just because he called for due process. Says, on Monday night, anti-police rioters looted a Dollar Tree General store in Brooklyn Center. And all told, 40 people were arrested. It says Elliot, that's the mayor, also asked Minnesota Democratic Governor Timothy Walz to reassign Potter's investigation to the state's Democratic Attorney General Keith Ellison. So he's crooked himself. But, I didn't have time to find the clip, but when he announced that he had asked the governor to switch this over to the state attorney general, Keith Ellison, the reporters cheered. They clapped for him. The reporters. They're not there to get the facts. They're activists, keep in mind. They're propagandists. And so they started clapping. They knew, well, as soon as we can get Keith Ellison in here, he'll go after the police. We know we can count on Keith Ellison. And those clips from yesterday, where they were lecturing the city manager, where they were lecturing the chief of police, And then now the city manager and the chief of police are gone. These reporters, they're like God. You talk about a God complex. They come into the press briefing and they tell you what to say. They tell you what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. They're not there just to gather the facts. They're not there with the notepad to write down what the city manager says so that they can report on it. They're there to lecture city officials. And let me tell you, this mayor, he's snapping right in line with what the media, the propaganda media want. And the mob outside burning the city. Constitution is being shredded right before our eyes. Here's the mayor yesterday commenting on the city council, giving him authority, the authority over the police department. Clip three.
That included a vote in which the council voted to streamline the chain of command with the department and voted to, according to our city, in accordance with our city charter, have the command of the police department under the office of the mayor.
So the mayor is now running the show at Brooklyn Center. And here we can delve into a little bit of this man's thinking with respect to law enforcement. This is clip five.
I don't believe that officers need to necessarily have weapons, every time they're making a traffic stop or engaged in situations that don't necessarily call for weapons.
So maybe we just need to take away the weapons, because after all, the police officers, they're just gunning down black Americans right and left. It's happening all the time, every second of every day. You listen to that reporter yesterday, and it far, 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 far outnumbers the number of white people that are shot, which is absolutely and totally false. But that's the narrative. So what do we do? Well, there's the mayor. He's over the police department now, and he's saying, you know, when there's traffic stops, I don't think the police need to be armed. You may have read the story out of New Mexico. These police officers that were approaching this truck, and the driver gets out with a rifle and just starts shooting at the police. He killed one of them. Do you really want to pull over Dante Wright without a weapon? He's on social media, or he was, brandishing firearms. This was a thug of the highest order. He loved his weapons. He loved his guns. Nobody's talking about taking away the guns from people like Dante Wright. Here's the mayor of the city, saying that, well, we've got to take away the guns of the police. We've got to get rid of the police firearms. That'll solve the problem. And meanwhile, as I read to you the other day, homicides all across the nation just skyrocketing. Murders, black on black, white on white. That's the way it is mostly. There's some interracial murders as well. But for the most part, it stays within the communities. But it's thousands of them, at no police involved, just murders by the thousands. And so this mayor comes along and says, you know what? I think some of these stops, they don't even need weapons. Yeah, that'll solve the problems. I think the police officers would disagree if they're pulling over someone like Dante Wright, 20 years old, a gang member, loved his guns. He loved crime. Had no problem robbing people at gunpoint. No problem. Not even if it's a woman. Nope. And so the solution to this is to take away the guns. Or as this commentator on MSNBC says, I mean, he's basically saying that, you know, these kinds of incidents shouldn't even happen in the first place. You shouldn't even pull over, I guess. You should just let them go. Let them go. Listen to Eugene Robinson on MSNBC I think, either today or yesterday, clip two.
It's the way black men are approached by police far too often in this country. They are approached as being guilty, before being charged, presumed guilty, and required to prove their innocence before they're even approached. It's this was not a fleeing suspect from a violent crime. They pull him over. Why do they approach him as if he is the most dangerous desperado loose in the Midwest? It's stunning to me how this happens over and over again, and it is escalated from 0 to 100 in milliseconds. It's the victim who has to try to de-escalate.
It's the victim, he says, that has to try to de-escalate the situation. You've seen the footage. Who escalated that situation in a matter of seconds? That would be the career criminal. Here is this man, this commentator. I think he works for the New York Times as well. He's basically saying, don't even pull him over. Just let him go. Never mind the outstanding warrant. Never mind the unregistered firearm. You know, he has it exactly backwards. The ones that are presumed to be guilty, that would be the officer. She's in hiding. The mob says she has to go. She's a murderer. The mob says the city manager, he has to go. He's calling for something like due process. I mean, who heard of due process? The police chief, he's got to go. They're guilty. All of them are guilty. Dante Wright, he's innocent. He's innocent. And as Eugene Robinson said, it just happens all the time. It happens all the time. So the mayor says, hey, let's disarm the police. Let's handcuff the police. Rashida Tlaib, she's in the House of Representatives. She's calling for no more policing, incarceration, and militarization because the system can't be reformed, she says. So get rid of prisons, get rid of the police, get rid of everything. She's a member of Congress. It says, it wasn't an accident. Policing in our country is inherently and intentionally racist, said Tlaib. Dante Wright was met with aggression and violence. I am done with those who condone government-funded murder. No more policing, incarceration, and militarization. It can't be reformed. So just do away with it. That's a woman that's probably got CNN on the channel or on the TV 24/7. She's listening to Eugene Robinson. I mean, she's a far lefty herself. This is frightening to see what these people are proposing as the so-called solution, even as we see homicide rates just skyrocketing. Well, at thetrumpet.com, we've had quite a bit of reporting over the years, what we're doing to ourselves. There was, I think it was back in 2015, Sam sent me this. President Barack Obama has said he wants to make the issue of race and law enforcement a priority for his remaining time in office. So this was in the last couple of years of the Obama administration. It says, this is my father's article. It says, when you keep talking that way and telling people that, you're going to have riots and cities are going to burn. He's commenting on some of the things Obama was saying back in 2015. It says, and as I wrote in the cover story of last month's issue, Biblical prophecy says that burning is going to grow worse and worse. That's from Police Under Attack. We've been on this from the beginning. From the beginning, you see the anarchy. That's really what we're seeing in cities like Brooklyn Center, Portland, Seattle. It's flaring up again there as well. All it takes, as I said yesterday, one little incident. One incident in a nation of 330, 40 million people. And cities. Who has Tlaib or the mayor? Who has come out and denounced the rioting and the looting? What prominent official has been given a lot of time and has really come on strong and said, hey, it's got to stop? Instead, they're just appeasing the mob. They're trying to, and the mob continues with its mob-like behavior. And the media, for its part, just cheering it on. There was that story yesterday from Project Veritas exposing CNN, where all of these CNN people were basically saying, yeah, well, the agenda was to take out Donald Trump. That was our agenda from the beginning. And they talked about how they put out propaganda. They just admit it, not openly, but privately they admit it. And then the tape comes out, and it gets a little bit of play on the conservative sites for a day, and then it's over. CNN, it doesn't faze CNN. The fact that it's a propagandist network. Listen to this clip from Project Veritas. This is clip 6.
Look what we did. We got Trump out. I am 100% going to say it. And I 100% believe it. That if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have got voted out.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
Do you think it's going to be just like a lot of like fear? Like climate?
Yeah, fear sells. Fear sells.
No one ever says those things out loud, but it's obvious.
No one ever says it out loud, but I mean, it's obvious. We got to scare people. That's the way we've been working with COVID-19. Fear sells. Just scare them. Scare them to death. Here's the CNN technical director, as you saw there in that video. And he's bragging about, yeah, if it wasn't for CNN, Trump would have won. We had a hand in bringing him down. These are the things they talk about behind closed doors. It's what they talk about at the New York Times. It's what they talk about at the Washington Post, MSNBC. That's the agenda. Now, with Trump out of the way, it's climate change. And you've already seen or heard sound bites to that effect. All of the migrants streaming into the country. Well, climate change. We've got to address it. We've got to address the bigger picture and put trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars into these left-wing programs. Some quotes from that Project Veritas video. Look at what we did. I think this is in what you just heard. We got Trump out. That's the CNN technical director saying, we did it. We did it. We got him out. I'm 100% going to say it. And I 100% believe that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have got voted out. I came to CNN because I wanted to be part of that. You can't make this up. Can't make it up. CNN. This is CNN. It's a propagandist network. He said in part of this video as well that he created the story about President Trump's health. The president's, quote, hand was shaking or whatever, I think. We brought in so many medical people to tell a story that was all speculation, that he was neurologically damaged and he was losing it. He's unfit to, you know, whatever. We brought in all these experts to say he's crazy. And meanwhile, Joe Biden, he's perfectly sane and normal. Says here, we would always show shots of Biden jogging and that he's healthy, you know, and him in aviator shades Like you paint him as a young geriatric. So we've got to portray Biden one way and Trump the other way. And of course, in both cases, the opposite is much closer to the truth. So they lie. They lie. And they have no problem admitting it, at least not in private. They're not going to say it out loud, but then the undercover video shows up. And, well, we hear the admissions. Stunning, isn't it? It should be. Truth, I was just talking to one of our listeners yesterday who mentioned that even going back a year ago, some of the more conservative voices, he was saying how that you hear or listen to them today, and even they are weak. I mean, this police chief that just got fired, or he resigned, he was pressured to resign, but you listen to some of his comments Sunday and Monday and think that, well, he's probably more conservative. I don't know. I don't know who he voted for. Doesn't matter, but there he was. There he was. He had some tough talk. But the police, they were told basically to stand down. So you've got to appease the mob. There's so much weakness. So much weakness on display. And even among conservative commentators, Republicans, Sam and I were having a chat yesterday. Do you, as a faithful listener to this program, do you really think that there's hope in the in the Republican Party? Do you really feel like that the Republicans or that conservatives can save this nation? We've told you so much about that prophecy in 2 Kings. I'm going to have to go to a break here soon to save my voice. But we've referred to that prophecy so often about how God alone saves. There is no help for Israel. That's what your Bible says. Only God could deliver us out of this turmoil, out of this nightmare, out of this, all of these curses. And of course, we've brought so much of it on ourselves. God is the way. He's the only way. And that'll tie in with what we study in the next segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. You can email the program, td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
About to lose my voice, and the guys in the control room cue up the shortest promo ever. Thank you, gents. Thank you for helping me out there. Sam's trying to take over, I guess. Anyway, I'll be fine. If I have to cough, if I have to take a break with my water, bear with me. We've talked recently on the program about the subject of hypocrisy, about really, really obeying God from the heart. It can't just be a show. It's got to start obedience. It's got to start from the inside. It's got to be clean and pure on the inside. Of course, Jesus Christ set us a perfect example in that regard. This is the verse I mentioned at the top of the show, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So he left us this perfect example. And God says, follow in the steps of Christ. Follow in this example. And a lot of times we just stop right there. This is a memory verse. But notice the thought, it's a colon there at the end of the verse. And the thought continues, the instruction continues, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. It says, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. I mean, he didn't sin one time. And so what is this saying? What is this telling us? When God says, now follow in his steps. Follow that example. God is telling us that you need to look to him and to the example of Jesus Christ and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin, to conquer sin, to come out of sin. Who did no sin? Don't forget about verse 22. Read those two verses together, verses 21 and 22, that we should follow in his steps. And he didn't sin one time. What an example. What an example. What good is all of the teaching and the instruction that God gives to us if we don't do it? How many people have Bibles on their shelves? Hundreds of millions. But how many are doers of the word? There's politicians, leaders, commentators at times. I mean, this is becoming more and more rare. But they might cite chapter and verse. A lot of times they misquote it. They distort it. They twist it out of context. But still, they're referring to Scripture. And yet, look at our nations. Look at our society. Look at our families. Look at the families of some of these career criminals. You don't hear much about the fathers, do you? Where are the fathers? What about Dante's father? What kind of a relationship did he have with his family? Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, talked about the family being the foundation of a strong and stable society. The family has broken down. There's a conspiracy against family, against fatherhood, against marriage. And God, as we know, is a family. God's family is the solution to the problems that we see all over the earth. John 13 and verse 14, this is the final Passover. Jesus Christ changed the symbols on that night. Instituted the ordinance of foot washing. And it says in verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So follow this example that I set for you. If I do it, then you should do it. And so who does it today? Nobody. Nobody does it, except for God's church. I mean, outside of that, who actually does this? Jesus said, I did it, so you do it. Follow my steps, in other words. Follow my example. Verse 15 says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So just do what I do. Just follow my example. Just follow in my steps, and you'll be okay. You'll be on the right track. If you know these things, it says, happy are you if you do them. That's John 13, 17. You're happy, you see, if you're a doer. If you're a hearer only, then you're deceiving yourself. That's James 1 and verse 21. 21 and 22, actually. Read those two verses together. We read through those recently. If you're happy, if you know these things, happy are you if you're a doer. If you're a doer of the word. Notice the passage in Leviticus 26. Notice what God said to ancient Israel. Mr. Armstrong said about this pivotal prophecy. He said about Leviticus 26, God reaffirmed the birthright promise, but with conditions for those of Moses' day. The birthright tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh were then with the other tribes as one nation. Obedience to God's laws would bring the vast national wealth and blessings of the birthright not only to Ephraim and Manasseh, but to the whole nation. The whole nation would automatically have shared them at that time. So, but it's conditional, as Moses spells out here, Leviticus 26 and verse 3. It says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then it says in verse 4. And then for the next several verses, it just talks about all of the blessings and the abundance and the prosperity that God would just pour upon the people of Israel. Verse 4 says, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. Year-round, bumper crops, fruitful abundance, safety, peace, and security. No violence in the street. No escalating homicides all over the nation. It says, and I'll give peace in the land. And you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I'll rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. How would this come about? If, verse 3 says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then you'll be blessed. Follow in the steps of Christ. Walk in these statutes and commandments. Verse 7 says, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword, and five of you shall chase 100, and 100 shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. God says in verse 9 that he'd make them fruitful, and he'd multiply them and establish them. But notice verse 12. Well, just put verse 12 together with verse 3. I'll read verse 3 again. It says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then all of the blessings. And then verse 12 says, and I, God says, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. See, if they walked in God's commandments and laws, then God would walk among them. And that's what we want. We want God with us. We want God walking with us. And that's only going to happen if we're walking with him. I read recently how that God says to those that come in too late, or that come in and say, hey, we knew you. We broke bread with you. And God's response is that, no, I never knew you. Because you were just hypocrites. You didn't obey from the heart. You were a phony Christian. You were a Christian in name only. For God to walk in our midst, we need to walk in his statutes and his commandments. We need to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. That's Leviticus 26, what we read there. Notice these verses in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, this book about law, this wonderful book. Deuteronomy 5:32, it says, and you shall observe to do, therefore, as the Eternal your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. you shall, verse 33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Walk in all the ways that God has commanded you. This is what it's like for a true Christian, for a doer of the word. This is describing an action-oriented obedience. We're walking. We're acting. We're acting on this precious truth. We're walking in the steps of Christ. We're following the example of Christ. We're doers of the word. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6 says, therefore, you shall keep the commandments, it says, of the eternal your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Keep the commandments. Walk in the ways of God. Fear God. Notice Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. It says, and now, O Israel, what does the eternal your God require of you but to fear the eternal your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, to keep his commandments, to keep the commandments of the eternal, it says, and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. What a wonderful couple of verses there of just outlining what God expects and how that it's all for our own good and how that this is what will bring blessings and prosperity and peace and comfort into our lives. Walking in these ways, loving God with our whole heart. It says there, serving God with all your heart, keeping the commandments, keeping the statutes. This is what it means to walk with God, to walk with Christ. Can you even, there's people by the millions, as I've read recently from an article by Mr. Armstrong, it's people by the millions who believe that Jesus just came and did everything for them and they don't have to do anything. They don't have to walk anywhere. They can just sit back and kick up their feet, so to speak. Because Christ did it all. Christ obeyed God for them, so they don't have to worry about obedience. People really believe this. And you can see how it's not scriptural at all, is it? You talk about walking with God, that's Old Testament and New Testament. 1 Peter 2, 21 and 22. Read the two verses together. He set us an example that we should follow in his steps. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't sin at all. So there's that perfect example. Follow that example. Aim for perfection. Matthew 5, 48. Strive. Fight against sin. Be vigilant in your fight against the devil, in your fight against the pulls of the flesh. Come into God's family and concern yourself with serving him, loving him, obeying him, walking with him. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, it says, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Teach this to your children. Teach it to your family. Verse 21, it says that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Eternal sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Blessings, you see, blessings and prosperity, peace and abundance. Verse 22, it says, "For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to do them, to love the eternal your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the eternal drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves." Wow, these are some pretty amazing promises that God made. Conditioned on their obedience, their willingness to walk in the steps of God, to walk in all of these ways. They didn't do a very good job of that. And a lot of people are making the same mistakes today. We haven't learned from these lessons. We haven't learned from this history. 1 Corinthians 10 says it's for us. It's for our time. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4. Notice this one. It says, "And you shall walk after the eternal your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him." Cleave unto God. Serve the eternal God. Follow in the steps of God. One more from Deuteronomy. It says in verse, this is Deuteronomy 30 and verse 16. It says, "In that I command you this day to love the eternal your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the eternal your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it." God's command, walk. Walk in all of his ways. And then verse 17 says, "But if your heart turn away," we've talked recently about the heart. What's on the inside? "If your heart turn away, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day," it says, "that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land where you pass over Jordan to go and possess it." So if you don't walk in these ways, you're going to suffer, in other words. You're going to be cursed. The blessings are going to fade away. So simple, isn't it? God, as he says also in the same book of Deuteronomy, "Look, I've put before you blessings and life, peace, prosperity. But you've got to choose. You've got to choose either that way or the way of disobedience and curses." How important is that example for us, the example that God sets, the example that Jesus Christ sets? One more passage. Let's just switch back to the New Testament. This is in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing to the brethren at Philippi. And it says in verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." Mark them which walk so that you have an example. I mean, it talks in Romans 16 about marking the ones that need to be put out of the church and to stay away from them, shun them. But here it says, look, when there's an example, you make note of it. And here Paul is saying, you know, look at me, look at my example. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." You see, it's a game of follow the leader, spiritually speaking. Follow in the steps of Christ, who did no sin. Follow that example. Follow the example of the Apostle Paul. Verse 18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, whose mind," it says, "who mind earthly things." That's the way a lot of people walk. Don't follow their example. Don't follow their steps. Stay away from that. Turn away from it. Those who are just serving their their physical appetites, their carnal desires. Verse 20 says, for our conversation or our citizenship, that's the meaning, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent the kingdom of God. We represent God's spiritual nation. We are God's representatives on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. So we're to come out of this world. We certainly have a message for the world. We certainly have a work of proclaiming the gospel, the true gospel, to the world. But as for the worldliness, that's to be left out of the church. We come out of that and into the church of God. And then we serve God, as I've read to you from Deuteronomy. We serve God. We worship God. We follow God. We fulfill the will of God. And ultimately, the whole world will benefit. Christ will return, and the minds of everyone on earth will be open to the truth. No more lies, no more propaganda, no more deception, no more murder, no more evil. Verse 21, it says, who shall change our vile body? That's speaking of our fleshly frame. Who's going to change it, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself? How is this miraculous transformation going to take place? Well, it's obviously going to take a miracle from God. It's going to take the power of God, the Spirit of God's power and love and of his sound mind. All of that comes from God, and God wants to give it to you. He wants to give you his Spirit. He wants for all of mankind to have his Spirit. But we've got to walk in the steps of Christ. We've got to bring forth the fruits of repentance, as it says in Matthew 3. We've got to show God. We've got to demonstrate to God that we're leaving this world and its evil ways and committed to following in the steps of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some email feedback, you can write the show, td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.